Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Now, one of the things we've seen continuously since the president announced his nominee, Brett Kavanaugh, is the outrage machine on the left. Continuous outrage, foaming at the mouth, constantly around the time. You see it here in Philadelphia. I'm sure they're going to be foaming at the mouth over Jay-Z and Kenny. I don't know where that bank shot, where that one goes, right? Well, Derek Hunter is a fascinating guy. I first saw him at townhall.com. He does a podcast for the Daily Caller, and now he has a brand new book, Outrage Incorporated. It's got a long title, too, in which he talks about the left and outrage over everything and how it's manufactured. Let's bring in Derek Hunter here to the Dom Giordano program.
Hey, Dom, thanks for having me. Originally, I wanted there to be a parenthetical at the end of the title that said, and pretty much everything.
Well,
the publisher thought that would be too long a title.
No, that was that captured it perfectly. Now, right fresh from the news, a serious one that I see how this goes, the outrage machine. I differ with the president yesterday and think it was a mistake. Earlier this week with Putin and joint summit, but charging treason, not just impeachment now, treason, and that this was Kristallnacht and Pearl Harbor, that's a pretty good example of the outrage machine.
It really is. Liberals don't have a dimmer switch on their outrage. Most human beings do. You have varying degrees of how angry or outraged you get. A normal human being does. The dimmer switch. The left has a toggle switch. It's off or it's on 11. And it seems to me to be pushing 12. To compare what happened with that press conference to Kristallnacht, where 200 synagogues were destroyed and tens of thousands of Jews were rounded up that night and shipped off to concentration camps, either shows an incredible historical ignorance or contempt for the audience that they will be ignorant. It was shocking to watch what happened this week.
I agree with you. I thought, too, of you, Derek Hunter, we're talking about his brand-new book, Outrage Incorporated. You're starting to see that only the real, almost ignorant, that just are completely emotional, they can't fake it too easily. I'm thinking of when the Kavanaugh thing was announced. I saw even Schumer and some of the others saying, hey, we got to do this, going through the motions of this, Derek. But they were unable to bring that full, and they're starting to be almost outed by the real people on the left, like the young woman who beat Crowley in New York, who genuinely, emotionally are crazy with this stuff. They can't fake it too easily anymore. They're kind of tired.
Well, on Kavanaugh, Schumer knows that they can't stop him,
right. Really,
realistically. But they have a strategy on the left, and it's what I outlined in my book, Outrage Inc. It is to keep people angry and or afraid in some sort of emotional frenzied state to prevent them from thinking rationally. Because everything you've apologized for, I'd say 99% of the things you apologize for in life, are things you've done at the spur of the moment, in the heat of passion, in the heat of anger, something you've said, what have you, and because you're not thinking rationally. If Democrats seem to be trying to keep their base in that constant state until November to motivate them to vote, because historically Republicans turn out in midterm elections at a higher rate than Democrats do. The problem for Democrats is they've had to appeal to more of their fringe, and their fringe has gotten larger, as we learned with Bernie Sanders in 2016 and how close he came to winning, that they have a violent streak in them. So the Democrats have to keep them just below violent. They're playing this weird game of chicken, that they can keep people angry, tell them Adolf Hitler Jr. is in the White House, and get that all your rights are going to be stripped from you, or favoring the rich, blah, 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 all the typical talking points, and that won't cause somebody to snap before November. and do something horrible, as James Hodgkinson did last year on that baseball field to the Republicans.
Yep, that is a tremendous point. That's exactly what they're trying to calibrate, and I think it's impossible. We're talking with Derek Hunter, the author of a brand-new book, Outrage Incorporated. And you are a humorist. You're an entertaining writer and thinker. Humor is something that has been a big casualty here for a long time. But, I mean, even late-night comedy is an example of this. It's not humor. It may be commentary, but there's no fun. There's no light touch with most of it.
They suck the joy out
yes.
of life, the left does. If you want, I try not to watch the late-night comics because I like my comedy funny. But those speeches, and they're not even really monologues, the speeches might as well be happening on the stage at the Democratic National Committee. They're not punctuated with punchlines. They're punctuated with applause lines. You're preaching to the choir, and you know when you're going to get your amen, so you stop so they can applaud it. And notice, it's not uproarious laughter coming from the audience. It's applause. We agree with you, not you're entertaining us, and that was hilarious.
Boy, I'm going to steal that a week or so from now when people forget about this interview and not attribute it to you. That's exactly right. It's like a knowing applause. They're all in on it. There's no laughter. Sometimes there is like, oh, my God, did Colbert just say that when he said the things about Putin and Trump? There's like right. a shock and a giggle and then applause. Oh, we love it even more. But you're right. Laughter seems to be out of this whole equation.
It is secondary because, you know, certain jokes now are hate crimes. The jokes you and I grew
yes.
up on
yes.
are hate crimes. You can't make a joke. I can't even tell you what kind of jokes you can't make anymore, but let's just say Poland is happy. You can't say those jokes anymore because they're hate crimes. Half of the comedy, if you watch stand-up comics from the 60s, not the 60s because I thought Lenny Bruce was terrible, but from the 70s and the 80s, Eddie Murphy at the height of his powers was absolutely hilarious. Chris Rock in the 90s and 2000s, absolutely hilarious. But if you watch them now through the lens of current political correct fascism that we are engulfed in, you think, you kind of catch yourself going, ooh, they're going to catch hell for that. We saw that with Dave Chappelle when he released some Netflix specials last year, and he made some transgender jokes. And they were funny, but they were, offensive because he's not transgender, and therefore they had to be stopped, and people were angry, and people were protesting. We have a bunch of people who don't want to have fun anymore. They don't know how to have fun anymore. They sure know how to get outraged, and the left has so elevated victim status in society, particularly on college campuses, that people don't aspire to have a good time anymore. They aspire to be offended so that they can get attention. It's sad. I feel sorry for the kids in college now because my weekends in college were spent drinking and having a lot of fun. And they spend their weekends putting together paper mache heads to go and protest whatever latest outrage happens.
We're talking with Derek Hunter. Is one of your main places people can find you, Derek, in addition to your book, townhall.com?
Townhall.com on Thursdays and Sundays, and the Daily Caller 5 days a week with a podcast.
Oh, I didn't know about the podcast. I will have to check that.
Relatively new.
Okay. And what's the what brand did you put on the podcast?
It's the Daily Caller podcast.
We're very
original.
Very much.
Madison Avenue went nuts with that.
All right. Now, of course, you do address, and we'll get to it in a moment, so-called climate change and all that is the focal point of religion. But I was interested because you had an observation that I did, and I remember this with noted comedian Al Franken, not the fact-checking. We're going to fact-check everything, you know, take the juices right out of it. And unless the thing is down to the millionth decimal point, they seem to be using fact-checking as a sledgehammer. And particularly, we know with President Trump that sometimes the accuracy of the decimal point is not there, but the effectiveness of the policy is there.
Well, fact-checking has been weaponized, as
yes.
I point out in the book, three times. PolitiFact, which won a Pulitzer Prize, and that sort of in 2008, and that set off all news organizations that we have to have our own fact checker. They three times fact checked President Trump's claim of if you like your plan, you can keep your plan, and three different times they found it varying degrees of true. They even fact checked it and found it true during the 2008 campaign when it was a vague idea. There was no legislation. And they just said, yeah, this is
I'm going to fact check right here for listeners and say President Obama, not Trump. But
Sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. I don't want to be here.
The fourth time, they took four bites at this apple.
Yes.
The fourth time they got around to fact-checking it was in 2013 when they named it the lie of the year. Now, it was the lie of the year 4 years after it had been told, 5 years after it had been told, actually, and after three variations of fact checks that found it to be true. But in 2013, what happened was Barack Obama had won re-election in 2012 and was never going to face voters again. So pointing this out as the lie of the year, even though it wasn't said during that year, did no damage to Barack Obama. Conversely, when NBC News during the third presidential debate in 2016 did live fact-checking on social media against Trump and Clinton, they didn't check one thing that Hillary said, leading the reader to the impression that Hillary, everything she said was, you know, straight out of the Bible. And they fact-checked Donald Trump six times. Each time they declared his fact-check to be false, to be a lie. One of those lies, in quotes, was that Hillary Clinton had acid washed her server. Now, Hillary Clinton used BleachBit, which is commonly referred to by people who aren't tech wizards as bleach acid. But because Hillary Clinton didn't physically fill a swimming pool with hydrochloric acid and shove her servers into them, that was deemed to be a lie. That is the level.
I got to go back to that page in the book. I've been saving this up, and that's a really, really good example. What's your favorite? I asked every author. Derek Hunter with us, his new book, Outrage Incorporated. Derek, what's your favorite part, your favorite chapter in the book?
The bias by proxy chapter.
Okay.
Where if you follow like Time and Newsweek and the Washington Post and all these liberal news outlets on social media, you'll see, say, Sunday morning after John Oliver has a program, or Monday morning after John Oliver has a program on Sunday night, or Thursday morning after Samantha Bee has a program on Wednesday night, they write up the attacks on Republicans that she does and that John Oliver does. Like, oh, watch John Oliver take down whatever it is, Congressman such and such, or idea this, idea that. It's report. First of all, who cares? More people watch House Hunters International than Samantha Bee. I watch House Hunters International. Yeah. And it's not even by a little bit. Twice as many Americans watch House Hunters International on Wednesday night at 10:30 than watch Samantha Bee. So theoretically, nothing she says is news because nobody's watching, except for people in newsroom. And so what this does is her liberal bias and her monologues and her attempt at jokes, it allows the reporters to say things that they wish they could say, but they can't. And if you look at the language of the reports that these people write up in Time and Newsweek, et cetera, you see that there's little punctuations in there, not in quotes, of the reporter letting you know that finally I can write this. I have been storing this up for 2 weeks. Somebody finally said it, so I can report it as if it's news, when nothing they say is news. If you watched the media during the time when Jon Stewart was on the Daily Show.
Wait a minute. Genius Jon Stewart. Yeah. We always say that on the Dom Giordano show. Yes.
You would have thought that genius Jon Stewart was, if not the most popular, certainly in the top 10 most popular shows on television. He was losing in the ratings to reruns of Family Guy on Cartoon Network at 11 o'clock weeknights. Every week he was losing to them, but he was winning the newsrooms. They saw their opportunities, somebody preaching what they believed, and so they covered him as if he mattered and, in a way, made him matter.
Absolutely. This is a great book. I need to get a part two with you at some point because there is so much in here. How the liberal mob ruined science journalism and Hollywood. Outrage Incorporated. Derek, available all over the place, right?
Yes, it is. And Amazon, it's on sale for like 40% off right now, but $17.
Not a bad deal at all. And we'll read you at townhall.com every Thursday. And the podcast is on Sundays at Daily Caller.
No, the podcast is every weekday. The Town Hall columns are Thursday and Sunday.
Thursday and Sunday. Hey, Derek, thanks for joining us. I do hope you come back very soon.
Thanks for having me, Dom, anytime.
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.